This is KJAM Radio. My name is Kimble Matthews, and this is the Kimble Matthews Show. You can visit us online at theinvestmentrealestatecorner.com. That's theinvestmentrealestatecorner.com. And as I had talked to you before, here in the wonderful state of Phoenix, Arizona, I told you I'm going to find the best resources out there to that allow you to make your business run as smooth as possible and to grow the most profits as possible, especially in this type of economy. And we're just going to have some great time. I have 52 interview guests coming up this year. So there's going to be a lot of people going to be checking out the investmentrealestatecorner.com and all the information that these experts are going to be providing folks, especially you members in my audience who are listening from all over the world. And I want to make sure to give a good plug out to our sponsors today, which is hasslefree800.com. That's hasslefree800.com. They're the leader in voice call capture technology. Basically what they do is they provide you with 800 numbers that allow you to track those individuals who are calling in and on your properties. And you can leave them a free recorded message so those renters or those prospective buyers can listen to the message and then leave a message for you, and then you can call them back at your convenience. That's hasslefree800.com. They allow you to sift and sort your prospects. Well, today we have a wonderful guest. I talked to him a couple days ago and read some of his information in the Personal Real Estate Investor magazine and thought he was just the concepts and what he was talking about of how he runs their business was just great, and I wanted to introduce him to you folks. He does a great job in explaining his little niche in real estate investing, and it's Matt Bowles of Maverick Investing Group. That's Maverick Investor Group, and he's going to, and that's Bowles like the cereal, and he's going to talk with us today. Matt, are you on the phone today?
I am, Kendall. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and talking to us and letting us know about what you do and how your business does it. But before we get into all of that nitty-gritty, could you tell us how did you personally get started in real estate investing?
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting story. I was working in, this is probably about, you know, five or six years ago. I was working in the nonprofit sector, actually, in Washington, D.C., and I was doing work that I really cared about, I really loved, was really important to me. I was making about $40,000 a year as people who work for nonprofit organizations do, working for good causes and all of that, working probably at least 60, 70 hours a week. But doing important work, you know,
right.
And what happened was, you know, of course, this was during the real estate boom. You know, somebody said to me, hey, you should buy a house. And I said, well, I can't afford a house. I work at a nonprofit organization. They said, well, sure you can. Here's how you do it. You know, you can get a loan and all this other kind of stuff. And so, you know, I went through the process. I bought my house. And what happened was in the next year, less than 12 months even, the house appreciated $120,000 in 12 months. And I said
nice.
To myself, wow. I could have sat on my couch and done nothing and made three times as much money as I did working at my job for 70 hours a week. And that's when the light bulb came on for me, Kendall, and I said, you know what? This whole investing thing is pretty interesting, how you can make a lot of money without doing a lot of work. And so what happened then was, you know, I cashed out, refinanced, and then started to really study the concept of real estate investing. And I went then to other emerging markets that were going up at the time, and I made some strategic real estate investment plays. And then what happened is I sort of have been able to flip-flop the scenario where, you know, I was able to leave my job, and of course I still care about those very important causes, and
right.
I'm now able to donate to those causes, donate my time, donate some money, and so forth, but I don't have to go into the office every day,
wow.
You know, and I just do real estate full time.
Well, how long did it take you? That's interesting that you work for a nonprofit organization. I worked with some myself, National Future Farmers of America, actually, in Indianapolis. and it was a great company. But how long did it take for you before you to leave your job?
Since I bought my primary residence, it took me probably about 2.5 years, to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, I was able to do it. And that's great to hear that you work for a nonprofit as well, Kendall, because, you know, for me and for the community, the Maverick community that we ended up, creating, it's a lot more, this whole real estate investing thing. And for me from the very beginning was a lot more than just, making money and all this kind of stuff. It's a much more deep and substantive concept of how can I make money through investing that allows me to recapture my time so that I can spend it the way that I want, I can design the lifestyle that I want, I can donate to causes that are important to me, both in terms of money and time. And that, for me, was the goal from the very beginning. And as we started to then, form the Maverick Investor Group and this community of investors, that's really the type of attitude and the type of orientation that really, holds us together.
Gotcha. Well, how did the Maverick Investor Group come together?
Well, so leaving off then from my first story, mm-hmm. I started buying property in these other emerging markets. So I was started looking at Las Vegas, looking at Florida, and looking at Phoenix, and these types of markets as they were on the way up. And I started to study the concept of the emerging market as an investment philosophy. And then what happened, just pretty coincidentally along the way, is I stumbled on to this concept of bulk purchasing power and collective buying power and what that means in terms of taking my investing to another level. Because what happened was I started buying these properties in like Vegas and Phoenix and stuff, and they were just going through the roof, and people started asking me. Remember, at the time, I was not in a community of investors. I was in a nonprofit world, right? So people started asking, like, how in the world are you doing this? They're like, can I do it with you? And I said, well, sure. Here's what he knows, dude. So we started getting people together, all of whom wanted to buy into the same market, into the same development. And what we found was when you approach a seller, like a developer, for example, and you have 10 people instead of one person, all of a sudden you can start getting better deals. It's the same concept as Costco. When you buy mm-hmm. stuff in bulk, they're able to sell it to you for less. And so we realized this concept and then just started building this community of buyers who could then collectively approach a developer and say, we want to take down 25 units. We want to take down 50 units. What kind of discount can you give to us? And it's a phenomenal deal for the developer because we say, look, you don't have to put in your regular overhead for sales, people and marketing expenses and all the holding costs and everything else. We'll just buy them from you. Each person buys their own property. There's no pooling of money. It's not a security or anything. Okay. We're all going to buy our own property. We're all going to mm-hmm. own our deeded piece of real estate. But just the fact that we've coordinated ourselves together means that we have the power of collective purchasing, which enables us to get special prices and terms that would not be available to the public and would not be available to the individual buyer.
Great. And could you repeat that again? You're not pooling money. It's everyone has their own collective, their own deed, right?
That's a very important concept, yeah. Kendall, because you don't want to get into anything that looks like a security. Okay. There's no. Well, what we do is we don't put any buyer's money together. We don't even handle any buyer's money. Okay. Mm-hmm. All we do is we coordinate buyers. Let's say, for example, that you said, I want to buy a property in this new market here. I heard it's really great, and this is the type of property I want to buy. And I said, hey, Kendall, I'm thinking about buying there as well. And I got these other friends who also want to buy there. Let's collectively approach a developer, and we say, okay, I want to buy one house. Kendall wants to buy another one. My other friend here wants to buy this one, and my other partner wants to buy that one. So we're each going to buy our own property from the developer, go into a contract directly with the developer for that property. But the fact that we've approached the developer collectively instead of individually means that we're going to be able to have more negotiating power, and we're going to be able to get better deals.
Right, and that's why I want to make sure that individuals understood, and they also understand you can just pick up the newspaper or go online. There's been enormous changes in the real estate market and in the economy generally over the past year. What are the four causes mistakes you see real estate investors making in the current market right now?
Well, there's a lot of them. And, you know, the number one thing that I see is that people are panicking and they're acting out of fear, okay? And that's, I mean, you can understand why if you turn on the evening news, okay? But the number one mistake is that people are making bad decisions that are not financially rational, okay, because they're scared. And a lot of times, one of those, I mean, sometimes those decisions include, you know, selling at the wrong time and, you know, doing the wrong thing and so forth. You know, or not negotiating with your lender because you're scared to talk to, or whatever it is. But one of the main fears that I also see manifesting itself is that people are just not willing to buy any real estate at all. They're just too scared to buy. And that is a very costly mistake. So that's the first thing that I see, because the opportunities out there right now are absolutely incredible. You have to be careful. There's a lot of bad things on the market as well. So it's not just a good time to buy anything. But it is a phenomenal time to buy certain things, and if you can identify those things, you don't want to be stricken with fear and paralysis at this time.
Right.
The second thing that I see, the second major mistake that a lot of people are making, kind of also relates to fear, is that they're only buying in their local market. Mm. Okay, and that is a big mistake in my view, because why would you buy in your local market instead of buying in the best market? Okay, the concept of investing, and let's just take if you're going to invest in stocks and you're going to buy stock in a company, you don't care where that company is based. You just care that you're buying stock in a company that you believe is going to, you know, go up in value, right? So
right.
You don't have that limitation when you're buying other types of assets. Why would you have that limitation when you're buying real estate? And in many cases, the answer is, you know, hey, I don't know how to buy property out of state, or I don't know how to manage my property if I don't live near it, and this kind of stuff. And so we've actually dealt with all of those things in terms of the Maverick Investor Group model, which I know we'll get into in a little bit. But people's general orientation towards buying should definitely be open and, you know, open to buying in the best market and not just the local market.
So it's more like live locally but invest globally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you shouldn't be restricted. I mean, let's say you live in a market that's not a very good one to buy in. I mean, why would you buy in that, you know, in that market? And even if your market is good to buy in now, a few years from now, it's no longer going to be the best, you know. So you need to be versatile. You need to be able to use a strategy that we call geographic arbitrage, which is kind of a fancy financial term, which basically just means move your money around to the best markets, you know? Whatever
right.
The best markets are to buy in, buy there.
Right, right. What's another point?
Well, you know, the third mistake that I see a lot of people making, and this is probably a little bit more of the earlier investors and less of the seasoned investors, people are being landlords. Being a landlord is one of the largest mistakes that you can make, and I want to make this really kind of clear and emphatic. Being a landlord is a job, okay, and it's a low-paying job. It means that you deal with tenants, you screen tenants, you fix toilets, or you contract with maintenance people to fix toilets, you take calls from them, you know, deal with all of the things that go along with owning property. And if you know, and it does not pay well. So
right.
When you're an investor, what you want to do is you want to buy an investment. An investment is, by definition, right, I mean, what it's supposed to be is an appreciating asset and a stream of income, at least one or the other, if not both. Okay, that's what you're buying, a stream of income. You're not buying a job, and you don't want to buy a job. So you want to make sure that you're able to buy something, that you're able to get a property management situation in place, which you factor into your costs, you factor that price, that fee into your property management analysis, and you make sure that you buy something that will be managed for you. And when you're buying out of state, that is even more important, okay? Being able to buy a turnkey deal is one of the most crucial things, and that's also something that we've been able to incorporate into the Maverick Investor Group model, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then the final thing, Kendall, I would say the fourth thing, you asked me about four mistakes that I see.
Right.
The fourth one is investing individually. You know, like you were saying, you and I could go and we could, you know, pick up the newspaper in the morning and we could call, you know, 75 buyers and we could call all these agents and we could do all this stuff. And, you know, you could look at hundreds of properties and evaluate them and, you know, filter them through them and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It takes an unbelievable amount of time to do that. You're going to only be able to get, if you're buying one house and you're one person, you're not going to be able to get any kind of quantity discount, certainly, only what you're able to negotiate. And it's going to take an outrageous amount of your time, okay? So, you know, the alternative is to use what we have created as basically a deal-finding system, okay? And we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But investing by yourself in this market and trying to do everything yourself is so time-consuming that it's almost debilitating.
Right, right. And there's a lot of that paralysis by analysis goes along with that too.
Absolutely, no question.
Now, one of the things that the Investment Real Estate Corner and my audience is going for, and people who listen to this, they are individuals who have their day jobs, they like their day jobs, but they like to also invest in real estate. In this market, what are four crucial things each passive real estate investor must do in order to succeed?
Well, the first thing I would say is be prepared to buy and build up your cash reserves, okay? The people, that, you know, and let me just start out by saying this, Kendall. There is going to be an absolutely incredible transition of wealth over the next probably 18 to 24 months, perhaps the biggest transition of wealth the country's ever seen, certainly since the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be enormous. And if you look at history in terms of how these wealth transitions occur, they occur because the people that had all of the wealth, okay, and you can look at this if you want to look at Wall Street, look at all the people that are going bankrupt on Wall Street. Look at all the people that are, you know, that were scammed out of their money. They had it stolen from them, you know, by people like Madoff. They, you know, or they were at failing firms and failing hedge funds, and they all went under. And this kind of stuff. Okay, these people were at the top of the financial wealth ladder, and many of them are now at the bottom. Okay.
Right.
And but you also have the same thing in real estate, okay? I mean, if you look at major, you know, people that investors, the people that ran different investment clubs or groups or whatever in real estate and this kind of stuff, some of the biggest ones in the country, they're bankrupt. They're gone. They're done. You know, they're out of the picture. Okay, they're starting from zero. So the wealth is going to transition into the hands of people who are able to see the opportunities in this market. They're able to have some money, okay, some cash, and they're able to come in and they're able to buy the unbelievably discounted, you know, properties that are available in this market. So the first thing I would say is build up the cash reserves and mentally prepare yourself to buy in this market when you see the right deal. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, I would say keep your credit score up as high as possible. Unless you are an all-cash buyer, you need a very high credit score because the lending markets are freezing up. They are lending. They are lending on investment properties, but they are lending to highly qualified buyers. If your buyers have a day job, that is phenomenal, Kendall, because that means that it's going to be much easier for them to get a loan. The banks like to see what they call full documentation buyers, which means you show them that you have an employer, you have a W-2 income, and you have, you know, a good paying job. If they have that, they're in a very, very good position. If you combine that with a high credit score and some cash reserves, they are in the best position possible to buy real estate. So that's number two. Make sure that you keep your credit score up, and you will be in a very elite group of people in terms of your qualifications to get loans in this market.
Right.
You know, the third thing, as I said before, I would say do not confine yourself to your local market. Mentally prepare yourself to be open to considering opportunities in other markets if they are better than the opportunities in your market. And then, you know, the fourth thing I would say to do in this market is to take advantage of bulk purchasing power, okay? This is really, if you want to understand how, you know, how real estate really works, at a core level, you can look at what, you know, you can look at what the banks are doing, okay, just in terms of like how the REO world is working, okay? When a bank forecloses and takes back properties and all this, they come up with these giant portfolios of property, okay? And they'll have, I don't necessarily sell, you know, REOs, you know, or specialize in that per se, but I'm just giving you an example. The bank will sell a huge portfolio of, let's just say they'll sell $100 million worth of property, okay? And they'll sell it for a very small percentage on the dollar. So let's just say they'll sell, you know, $100 million worth of property in a big bundle for, you know, 10 cents on the dollar or something, okay? And the person that buys that $100 million bundle gets it for 10 cents on the dollar. They then break it up into, you know, into $25 million bundles, okay? And they sell the $5 million bundles for, say, 30 cents on the dollar, and they just made a huge return. And then the $5 million bundles get broken up into $1 million bundles, and they get sold for, you know, whatever, 60 cents on the dollar or 50 cents on the dollar, and then they get sold individually to the end buyer, you know, for some marked up price and still discounted, you know.
Right.
But what you can see is how that chain works. Now, the same is true if you approach developers, okay? And developers have, you know, standing inventory. They have certain things like this. The more property that you can buy, the better the price you're going to get. It's just a financial reality, okay? So, again, what we're doing is we're not pooling anyone's money together to make a collective purchase. What we're doing is we're lining up individual buyers who don't necessarily know each other. They may never know each other. They may never know who each other is. It doesn't matter, okay? Maverick is the conduit here. We're kind of the, you know, the sort of the nexus here where we're negotiating with the developer saying we can take down, you know, 50 units or however many units, and then we're bringing in and referring about 50 buyers, each of whom takes down their own unit. Now, Kendall, if you were part of this group of 50 people, you don't necessarily know any of the other 49. All you know is that you're getting a special price and a special terms that you could not get by yourself, simply because I have coordinated 49 other people to buy into, you know, the same development or the same package or whatever it is with you. So,
right. You're just bringing everybody together and saying, give us a deal. It's like when at my church group, when Circuit City was going bankrupt, and they were giving away, well, not giving away, but they were selling those large 47-inch screen TVs. Well, I told everybody in my group, I said, well, let's all 10 of us get together, go down to Circuit City, and say we want to buy 10, 20, 47-inch televisions. Get them off your floor. Give us a good deal. And many of us got a great deal on those.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're doing. That's it.
Wonderful. Well, I did get a question from a friend, and they said, "Well, what are some keys to leveraging time and money in this economy?"
Yeah, that's a crucial point, Kendall. And I know you and I both, I think we talked earlier that we both read and appreciated the Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, which talks about leveraging time and money, basically, right? And how to do that in a particular way that enhances your lifestyle and the people, you know, in your life and everything else. And that's always crucial to keep that in mind. And that's really, as I mentioned at the beginning of this call, that's the core of, you know, the whole point, you know, for me and for the Maverick community for real estate investing. And so in this economy, it's particularly crucial, though, as you know, because it's harder to make money in this economy. So the more you can leverage your time and the farther your dollar will go and the farther your investment dollar will go to get you returns, I mean, it's even more important now than it's ever been. So the three things that I would say, circling back to, you know, to what we brought up earlier, is number one, use a deal finding system, okay? That's what Maverick Investor Group has for the individual buyer. Now, what that means is that instead of you going out, you know, in the morning and looking at through all the newspapers and calling and going to see 100 houses and all this kind of stuff, we are going to identify markets, we're going to identify buying opportunities, we're going to negotiate with the seller, and we are then going to present to the buyers, the individual buyers, an opportunity to buy a phenomenal premium property, okay, a premium investment property. And that is what we call a deal finding system, because that means that all you have to do is evaluate the opportunity, right? Obviously, do your own due diligence, evaluate the opportunity and this kind of stuff. But ultimately, it's going to come to you, okay? So you are not doing the work of identifying the property and negotiating the deal and all this kind of stuff. All you're going to do is evaluate it and say either, yes, I'd like to buy, or no, I don't want to buy. But either way, we're doing all of the work, and it doesn't cost anything. Now, we are an exclusive community. I mean, it is an invitation-only organization. Kendall, you and I obviously have a business relationship, and, you know, I would definitely like to, you know, extend, you know, through you that invitation to a select group of your clients that you think, you know, would be appropriate to participate, you know, in the community and stuff. And for those people that you select, it's not going to cost them a dime. Okay,
just making sure it doesn't cost them anything.
Doesn't cost them anything. It's an invitation-only group, but provided that, you know, they come through you and through your invitation, it doesn't cost anything, and they're just going to have access, okay? That's the key word. You get access to unlisted buying opportunities that are not available to the public because we've negotiated them in bulk, and those deals just come to you for evaluation. You didn't have to go out and negotiate and find them. So that's the first point of incredible leverage, okay?
Okay.
The second point, the related point is the bulk purchasing, okay? That's kind of tied in. So one is use the deal finding system so the deals come to you so you save time. Number two is bulk purchasing. When you buy as part of Maverick Investor Group, through Maverick Investor Group, you're leveraging your money because you're getting something that was negotiated in bulk. And the third thing is buying turnkey deals, okay? Now, this gets us back to what it means to think like an investor instead of like a landlord, right? You want to buy something that is going to be a performing asset that is very low maintenance, okay? That means that you're going to have property management in place. Now, obviously, whenever you buy real estate, you can, of course, do anything you want with it. You can live in it, you can use it as a second home, or you can rent it out. Assuming that your buyers are interested in renting the properties out, what we do is we help them to identify premium property management arrangements, that they can use if they choose to manage their properties for them. And the idea of a property manager is basically to maximize your net operating income, to get you good tenants, to get you people that are going to pay on time, to collect the rent for you, to take care of any problems that arise without disturbing you, the investor. What you as the investor get is a check in your bank account every month, and that is what you should get from an investment. So being sure to buy a turnkey deal that has all of that available to you in place, and so that you have to minimize the maintenance and the time that you spend on that investment.
Well, in looking at all those different investments and getting those different opportunities, when these individuals are analyzing deals, what are some of the criteria? Because I'm big on analysis. You know, we don't pull the trigger on and unless we understand all of our numbers, unless everything is clear, and making sure it's a great deal. For Matt, for your concern, what are some of the three most important criteria investors should be looking at for in this type of market?
That is a great question, and the answer is that, you know, when the market shifts, okay, a lot of times investors' criteria should shift as well, okay? So back when I started buying, you know, I mean, back in like 2004, 2003, you know, these kind of 2005, these kind of time things, you know, what people were able to do is to buy a property, wait a few months, and then sell it for a profit, okay? You can't really do that as much anymore in this economy. So what I would say is the first thing that I look for when I'm buying an investment property in this economy is something that would be a long-term or at least a medium-term hold, okay, which has a clear cash flow position from the beginning. I would steer clear of fixing and flipping. It's very time-intensive. It's particularly challenging in this market unless you're a seasoned expert, and it's extremely difficult to do out of state. So I would say, number one, look for long-term buy and hold properties with clear cash flow positions that are performing from the very beginning.
So what does long-term hold mean to you?
You know what? I think that's a little ambiguous right now because we don't know what the economy is going to do. We don't know exactly when the real estate market is going to come back, and I don't want to speculate on that, and I don't want to have an investment for me go bad because I guessed wrong. So I don't want to put any chance or any guessing at all on what the real estate market's going to do. That's why if you buy a property and you say, you know what, I'm comfortable holding this property for however long I need to hold it. Why? Because I have a monthly cash flow coming into my bank account. If the market comes back in 2 years and I can sell it for a profit, great. If the market doesn't come back for 10 years, no problem. I'm getting a monthly cash flow every month. We want to minimize risk. We want to minimize speculation. We want to minimize, you know, guessing and gambling and any of that stuff. We want solid performing assets that are going to work for you no matter what the, you know, what, whether the market comes back or doesn't.
Okay. What's another criteria?
The other criteria, the second one I would say, is to buy in sustainable markets. Okay? There are, you know, a lot of the gurus and the marketeers and the real estate people, you know, in this economy are saying, keep repeating the mantra, it's a great time to buy, it's a great time to buy, it's a great time to buy.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's partially true, but it's a highly qualified statement, okay?
Exactly.
It's a great time to buy if you buy the right property at the right price in the right market. And that's true for real estate, you know, all the time. So, you know, what you really want to make sure is that you are buying in a sustainable market where the rental market and the general economic indicators are strong, relatively strong in this economy, okay? Because remember, if we're not guessing or speculating or gambling or counting on the market appreciating a lot, you know, and making our profit that way, then what we need to do is we need to identify sustainable rental markets so that we can be, you know, generally secure that stream of income is going to continue flowing whether or not the real estate market goes up. So looking at the economic indicators, where you're going to buy, understanding where the renters are going to come from, and understanding that those rental markets are going to be strong based on your evaluation. So that's
gotcha.
The second thing.
Okay. So if there's a second, there must be a third, huh, Matt?
Well, the third thing that I would say, you know, and I see a lot of, you know, different sort of investment clubs and different emails going around trying to sell properties with all sorts of buzzwords, you know, like REO and foreclosure and all sorts of really low price points that perhaps maybe sound alluring to people. But what I would say to be very careful of is that you want to buy a good quality property and a relatively low maintenance property. So ideally, if you can buy a new property that's warranted or at least a near new property, that would probably be the best way to go, and to buy in a high demand, rental market, okay? Because what's happening is that a lot of people are selling properties. There basically is a lot of, you know, very low income, you know, areas. I mean, people are basically selling, you know, properties in slums of all these different cities, which are absolutely destitute areas, which have, you know, virtually no chance of being revitalized anytime soon, and they're just going to suffer further decay, which is absolutely tragic, you know, for the people there and this kind of stuff. But what that means is oftentimes not a very good rental market. It means not very good quality tenants. It means that your property's not really going to go up in value, and a lot of people that I've seen buy this stuff really get stuck with something that, oh, it sounded good because, you know, it was really cheap, you know, and somebody told me that I should be able to get this much rent, but now I can't get it, and now nobody wants to live in this neighborhood, and it's crime-infested, and it's everything else, and there's just nobody to rent my property. You know, now you're in kind of a big problem. So what I would say is make sure that the micro market is a high-quality market. Make sure the property is a good quality property that when the market eventually returns, you know, it will be something that, you know, that someone would want to buy, they would want to live in it, and there's economic indicators to tell you that market is a reasonably sustainable market.
Great, yeah, because those are three very great points, and some of the criteria that you laid down was great, especially buying in a sustainable rental market. You have to look at those numbers for that long-term and medium-term hold, and we're
getting kind of long here, Matt, and I want to make sure that since the people who are listening to this do have day jobs and are doing very well in those. So do you have any other closing comments that you would like to make?
Well, Kendall, you know, just that I think that, you know, provided that people are able to identify the right deals, it really, you know, the next probably 18 months is going to be the greatest transition of wealth that we have seen. And so mentally prepare yourselves for that. Get as much cash on hand as you can for that. Be very careful in your due diligence and prepare to buy the best investment properties that are available. I want to extend through you, Kendall, and the offer to invite some of your premier clients to get access to some of the Maverick deals that we're negotiating. We've got some very exciting stuff coming up, not available to the public, as I said, and I will, you know, I will let you, you know, extend those invitations to people and so that we can all, you know, hopefully move forward and prosper together.
Fair enough, and I really appreciate the time that you took out of your busy schedule today, and I look forward to hearing more from you in the future and making sure that Maverick Investor Group grows and becomes very sustainable throughout these next decades and further on.
Thanks so much for having me, Kendall. It was my pleasure.
Wonderful. And folks, you can get on that waiting list that we're going to put up on the investorrealestatecorner.com. At the investorrealestatecorner.com, you know, to be able to get on this waiting list for those next collective bargaining opportunities in emerging markets that Matt Bowles talked about. I'm going to put something on my website for you to sign up and register for that. So when those opportunities come, I'm going to make sure you're going to be the first to know about that. And also you can receive my free mini course for real estate investors that have a day job. That's also available on the investmentrealestatecorner.com. If you go there, just sign up and you'll get all the information of the mini course and then those collective bargaining opportunities that come about. You'll be the first to know about those as well. Well, this is the Kendall Matthews Show on KJAM Radio. My name is Kendall Matthews. Thank you for our sponsors at hasslefree800.com. And thank you, Matt, for the Maverick Investor Group. And next week we're going to be talking to some great individuals on marketing of real estate and give you that information. And you're going to just have to stay tuned and listen. And you know that there's always opportunities on the greatest nation on God's green earth. And until next time, this is Kendall Matthews, and we'll have a great day.